under a rubble of her home. She cries out for her parents, but the voices are those she cannot understand. She's confused, she's alone. There is blood on her hands, but it's not her fault. Not her fight, not her war. She's too
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Remember Palestine with me, Lauren Booth. In today's programme, we focus on the right to education, a right deliberately hindered by the Israeli occupation army in Palestine. In the West Bank, children are forced by checkpoint controls to miss classes or even to have classes by the roadside. In Gaza, universities and schools too today are common targets of Israeli rocket attacks. But how much do students here in the UK know about the situation for their peers in Palestine? Later on, I'll be meeting activists bringing the grim truth to the world. But first, this report from Ashraf Shannon on Gazan students denied university education in the West Bank.
Israel has barred Gaza residents from studying in the West Bank for over 12 years. Since 2000, Israeli authorities only allowed three Gaza residents to study at universities in the West Bank. In late September, Israel's so-called Supreme Court upheld a ban on Gaza students.
It's what an Israeli general called a policy of separation. This is what the whole strategy is. There's only been three Palestinian students from Gaza been allowed to go and study in the West Bank since 2000 September, and this has been a continuous policy in all areas. It's only when you focus on each particular area that you see just how strong this apartheid system is and how much it affects normal aspects of daily life.
Gaza's Al-Mizan Human Rights Center, along with Israeli group Gisha, filed a petition on behalf of four female university students from the Gaza Strip. The Israeli so-called Supreme Court ruled against the Gaza students. Al-Mizan Human Rights Center had this to say.
There is a clear policy by Israeli occupation forces since 2000 to completely prevent students from studying in the West Bank as part of the collective punishment against the civilian Palestinian population of the Gaza Strip. Israeli authorities did not clarify why Gazan students cause danger to Israeli security, which is a grave violation to international covenants regarding the right to education and to free passage.
Gazans are being denied adequate housing and are subjected to violence almost on a daily basis. Analysts say that Israeli practices prevent the youth from building a brighter future and deny them the opportunities to develop.
Since education is the best tool for progress, I think Israel strives its best to deprive Palestinian youth from their endeavor towards a better future, which certainly comes through education. Israel wants to make a Palestine into different Bantustans. Each Bantustan is totally separate from other places.
According to the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, right to education is a universal entitlement to education, a right that is recognized as a human right. Even those who have family members in the West Bank are denied the opportunity to study there.
My mother is originally from the West Bank and I am prevented from studying there. Many students do not even apply to study in the West Bank because they know for sure that they will be prevented. This is a part of an Israeli policy against Palestinian students, which is based on apartheid and discrimination.
Israel claims that its policies against Gaza are for security reasons. But students argue that the ban on them is nothing but discrimination and racism.
Experts say that Israel aims to destroy the future of Palestinian youth. Ashraf Shannon, reporting for Remember Palestine, Gaza.
Well, joining me now in our London studio are two special young women dedicated to helping other youngsters overcome obstacles in education in Palestine. Noor Hanbali from the Right to Education campaign at An-Najah University and Tamara Halassi who, with Noor, are volunteers at Camden Abudis Friendship Association. Welcome to Remember Palestine. Noor, if I can start with you. We met 3 years ago in 2009 with my young daughter when we were cycling through the West Bank. And that week, I remember the students at Najd University telling us that three students had been grabbed by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, on their way to study. And that's quite common. Students just don't turn up for classes and they've just been taken at a checkpoint. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I remember this story like 3 years ago. Students are not moving freely from their cities to the university. Mm. So they're having, like, we're having daily obstacle through going to universities and coming back. Like here in London, I felt the differences that when you go to from place to another, you have like 20 minutes exactly. But when you in Palestine, it's something different. There's checkpoint and there's flying checkpoints are waiting students like as obstacle not to go to school and not to go to university. Mm. Sometimes blinded and tied their hands, and they usually used these ways in order to prevent students to go to schools and universities. It's part of, I don't know how to say it, but preventing them from education.
Have you been through these checkpoints on your way to university?
Yes, actually, through my way to university, no, because I live in Nablus, but when I go to Qalqilia, for example, Qalqilia, Nablus to Qalqilia, it takes usual 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But during checkpoints, since 2002 and 2004, we were forced to go climbing mountains like villages to go through these checkpoints and to go. And sometimes they will tell you that you're not prevented to go and you're not allowed to go to these.
How stressful is that for a young person to know that studying is waiting over there? I mean, how can you get your head into the frame of mind to learn?
It does affect, like, psychologically affect, and it affects our lives and, of course, our study, like, in educational achievements.
And what, in your experience, has the Israeli soldiers' reaction been to saying, I'm a student, I just want to get...
Does it make any sense if you're a student or if you're, like, employee, you are going to your work? Mm. Like, they're treating all as the same, that you're Palestinian. Mm. Does it? Yeah, Palestinian, even if you're Muslim or Christian.
Thank you. I'll come back to you in a moment. Now, Tamara, your experience is of being a Palestinian in the capital of Palestine, Al-Quds, Jerusalem. There, the squeeze on education and resources, it takes another form from the Israeli occupation. What is the difference, say, between being in a Palestinian school in Jerusalem and a Jewish school?
Yeah, first of all, I would like to thank you very much for providing me this chance to introduce a Palestinian case, especially the education in Jerusalem. And there is a large difference between education in Palestinian school in Jerusalem, in the east of Jerusalem and the west of Jerusalem, whereas the Jewish school. For example, all of the money that Palestinians are paid for Israel government as a taxes is going to improve Israeli cities and Israeli schools. And in the part of Palestinian schools, there is a leak in schools, more than 2,000 class. And that mean all of students, they are going to school with late. Yeah, late. And also there is no basis for education, no labs, no library, no playground, nothing.
Can I come back to you? Because we'll just go to another report and come back. Because joining me now via the internet to discuss the various violations Israel is guilty of in relation to education is Professor Mazin Kumsaya, author, lecturer, human rights activist. Salam, Professor.
Salam, thank you for having me on your show.
It's always lovely to hear from you. And this time on another very important topic, education in Palestine. Tell us first of all, what specific forms the denial of educational rights takes in the areas you cover, Bethlehem, in the West Bank, for example?
Well, the Israeli infringement on Palestinian rights in education are numerous. I will start by explaining that we have 13 or 14 universities already in the West Bank and Gaza, but these universities have become essentially provincial universities because we're not allowed to have students from other places. So, for example, I teach at Bethlehem University, and at Bethlehem University, most of our students are from the Bethlehem area. So it's very difficult to get students from Gaza, from Nablus, from Ramallah, from other places in the West Bank or other localities. This lack of diversity among our student body is a very important factor. But it also applies to the faculty. We're not able to get faculty from different locations, from different, because of the checkpoints, because of the ghetto structures that Israel has set up in the West Bank. We're also not able to get professors from abroad, many volunteers even willing to come. Israel routinely denies them the ability to come. And that's number three. And number four is basically Israel puts obstacles in the way of students already enrolled in coming to their classes. So, for example, students from Jerusalem coming to Bethlehem or vice versa. And then the financial situation of the universities is very terribly affected by the occupation because we are under an economy of occupation where Israel caused a redevelopment of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and intentionally destroys our means of livelihood, our agriculture, our industry, our tourism. So there isn't a source of income for people to send their students to universities or for universities to subsidize like research and teaching and so on.
I just want to ask, politically, there is a form of deliberate transfer that's been going on for decades now, whereby students are encouraged by difficulties in West Bank and Gaza cities to study into studying abroad, at which point Israel denies them to the right of return. Is this correct?
That is absolutely correct, and also the pressure made on people here intends to force them out, basically, by denying them a normal life, a normal living, normal going to education, normal marriage, life, economy of any sort. This is the kind of thing that a colonizing occupation, as opposed to a simple military occupation, does. A colonizing occupation intends to remove the native people from the land in favor of the immigrant colonial, in this case, Jewish Zionists, and to replace the local people. So the less local people are able to sustain themselves here, the more advantage the Zionist colonizers feel they can get.
Just finally, what's the main thing that has to change for education to improve again in the West Bank?
Well, what we need is basically for the international community to support the BDS campaign, boycott, divestment, sanctions from Israel, including academic and cultural boycotts, because as you know, while they are destroying our universities and destroying our education, Israeli universities are direct participants with the occupation. They are collaborators with the occupation. Mm-hmm. And we need to have an academic and cultural boycott of the Zionist state and all its institutions that directly profit and benefit the occupation. That's why we Palestinian civil society, including all the Palestinian universities, have asked the international community to support this BDS campaign. And this is what we urge people to do. This pressure, as it builds on the state of Israel, eventually, just like with apartheid in South Africa, it will force it to change.
Professor Komsea, thank you very much for joining us again from the West Bank. It's time now for our weekly look at the growing international resistance to Israeli apartheid.
An international architectural celebration called Open House, which opens interesting buildings for public viewings, was targeted by influential Irish architects and activists for Palestine. This year's Dublin Civic Trust sparked controversy with its involvement in an open house project sponsored by the Israeli embassy and was attended by the Israeli ambassador.
I have been to Israel and Palestine on two occasions, and I've seen the destruction that the Israeli government carries out, both within Israel itself and within the occupied territories of the West Bank. Israel continuously uses a policy of demolition of buildings as a method of punishing Palestinians. There are almost 100 villages within 1948 Israel that aren't on the map, very simply because they're Palestinian villages.
A fundraising event for the official Israeli organization, the Jewish National Fund, a direct accomplice of Israeli apartheid, was disrupted by a number of activists in support of Palestine. Activists state this act was driven by solidarity with the struggle of the Bedouin people, whose villages are being demolished on a monthly basis by the Jewish National Fund. Australian-Palestine advocates organise a day dedicated to raising awareness and inviting the general public to join the Boycott, Divest and Sanction movement. The act of solidarity was strategically positioned in a busy shopping centre outside the secret store, which exploits Palestinian resources to produce products.
Still with me in the studio are Tamara Halassi and Noor Hambali from Al-Quds Jerusalem and Nablus in the West Bank. Tamara, a lot of the times we read from Israeli sources that Palestinian children are given terrorist literature in schools, that they're given inaccurate historical texts, and that these should be changed. What's the experience of students in Jerusalem now, Palestinian students?
Yeah, the situation now is like Israel reprinted the Palestinian curriculum under its control and remove everything is related for Palestinian culture. Also, for example, in history books, there is no Nakba. For Palestinian, there is only for what is happened for Jewish in the Europe. And the other example, at the geography books, there is no Palestinian map, and they put as a map for Israel, and it is under what the peace agreement is will do it. For example, another example is Islamic books. It's also controlled by Israeli government. There is no word for jihad or Islamic role in Palestine, especially in Jerusalem.
This is incredible. What are teachers trying to do something about this? Have they got the old textbooks? Must they accept the new curriculum? Is it legal?
It's not legal. First, I want to tell you that when a teacher wants to have a job in school, in especially in Jerusalem, before anything is result to education ministry, he should take a report from the Israeli report that he is not dangerous. And most of Palestinian teachers through the classes, especially if there is a Nakba date or...
If they attend, then they'll be sacked.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. What chance have you got? I would love to know more about this. Perhaps our viewers can go to the Camden Abu Dis Association to find out more. Thank you very much.
Noor,
going back to the West Bank... Mm-hmm. Tell us more about the situation there and the difficulties.
We're having difficulties with going to school and going back to universities. And
actually, you know what? Tell us about your work here in London.
Okay. What we're doing right now is, with CADFA Abu Dis, is spreading the awareness among students here and universities and school, building friendship with association or... blogs and through friendship links. We're here educated in Palestine, so we're talking about our experience when we're like in schools and universities.
And just quickly, what's the reaction been to by 14-year-old students to talking about Palestine?
They don't know where is Palestine, first of all. We just like gave them the map and talked about, do you know where is Palestine? It's not in the map. It's not exist. I don't think... If there is the map here in London, it's not recognized. Palestine is not recognized. And just like Israel. And like two of them or three of them, no, it's Israel, it's not Palestine. Palestine is not exist.
But that's a good place for a debate at least. Yeah. We've run out of time. Thank you so much. And good luck with your time in the UK. Well, each week we feature a resistance poet. Today, Ibrahim Sincere presents 1948.
I heard somebody mention a date, 1948. And amongst this crowd, I lost myself in thought. I thought, this plan has been in place long before 1948. Long before we knew things were bad and before they made us feel this way still. Some people expect help or some form of aid from the USA, but it's ironic how that line was built on the blood of the natives who were killed and displaced in the same way Palestine is being devastated today. In fact, they provide military arms to Israel but speak of peace and call for change. See, the variables may seem different now, but the formula remains. The method to achieving global power has always been the same and we have always been asleep. We can't turn to half of our leaders because they have always been the sheep. So the voices from this crowd are lost in the clouds as we're calling from the streets. I hear echoes, I hear free, free. I'm taken back to a time where Jesus of Nazareth roamed Jerusalem streets, where Mr. Evil and man found peace and brought life to the dead city, takes a bird by its dead wings and tells it to be free, free. And still today, the birds wait. The wings of Philistine cannot fly whilst they bleed, and it waits for the prophets it once nested to come back and revive the messages of love that in their time their people lived amongst. But the wings of Solomon no longer carry a spirit and breathe their life into olive trees. And if a nation is carried by its mothers and seeds, how do the children learn to believe when their schools are targets and homes are under siege? How do the mothers sleep with their memories of their children's screams and with the phosphorus in the air? How do they breathe? It doesn't take a politician and a PhD to understand that things just aren't right. Because I'm left wondering if the only weapon they really do have is their faith and their hope. And I thank the Lord that the Blue David is not the only star that they see, because the real stars are the ones that bring every human being peace. Those that glimmer in the darkest of nights, when the sun goes down, they bring beauty to the sky. So for every struggler that has risen to the greatest heights of human imagination, from the darkest depths of human oppression, flew beyond skies in communication with the angels they find, then fell victim to a system of greed and aggression, had hopes to escape from this lockdown before their hopes were shut down and voices faced oppression, we stand and sit. Salute you, the soldiers with no suits, and I swear none of their best can walk a mile in your shoes. You bled and wept and died for that. I waved this red, this green, this white and black Palestine flag.
That's all we have time for this week. Join us next time for more from the front line of the New Middle East.